Jesus, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your church body, the bride of Christ, that we can come together in fellowship, Lord, in worshiping you and in loving you and loving each other. Lord, I pray that we would be truly the authentic church, the bride of Christ that loves each other and loves you deeply, Lord. May this lifestyle be our way of life, Lord. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have the honor and privilege of inviting Dr. Paul Paquin to come and speak for us. He's one of our elders here. He's also in charge of a ministry called Light of the World Ministries. And so he's going to come and bring the message this morning. Now, understand something. He is from New England. And since he is from New England, Boston area, what? No, you don't want me. All I'm telling you is this. But the reason... So he was kind of on a schedule to preach fairly regularly, but then the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots played each other, and so I haven't forgiven him or his team for that long. So it's been 4 months. I figure that's long enough. Yeah. We'll let him preach now.
Yeah, I appreciate
so,
that.
So anyway, if you can't understand him,
learn. God said that, and the Bible says that. And when we speak in tongues, that what they have interpreters. Anybody here from Massachusetts or Rhode Island? If not, my wife there, wave your hand. She'll interpret for you.
She'll interpret.
Because I'll be speaking in tongues. I have the New England, thick New England accent.
All right, here
you
go.
There you go. Praise God. Okay. I think they're clapping for you. Well, good morning. God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. I thought I saw all the services in Africa, which is always interesting. We've been studying the book of Ecclesiastes for the last 100 years. Well, how long has it been? 4 months, 5 months? 5 months. And so today we wrapped up. And so Chris, Pastor Chris, had asked me to come and do a message on the book of Ecclesiastes. So in order to do that, what we did is we ordered pizza. It'll be delivered right around 12 because we're going to be going to about 6. And so, no. Okay, he said no. We got to cut that down a little bit. All right, so let's look at the book of Ecclesiastes. The Ecclesiastes, the name itself, is the Septuagint is a Greek name for that. And it's very simple. We use it today, ekklesia, meaning gathering, and we really refer to it as church gathering. So here you got the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's written by a young man named Solomon. Yeah. He's a very wise man and a very foolish man. We'll take a look at that in a minute. And so what whole idea is that there's only 12 chapters, and it starts in chapter 1, verse 1, and then in chapter 12, verse 8, is kind of like, here's your bookends. And in between, he's trying to tell us at the end of his life, at the end of his being his kingdom, because he knows he's going to die, he's giving us kind of like a summary of what life is all about. Now, the neat thing about the book of Ecclesiastes is that if you read it just the way it's written, you're going to be depressed. You can always tell people who read Ecclesiastes because they walk around like this. I'm a happy Christian. I just read Ecclesiastes. But is that really real? No, it's not. The book of Ecclesiastes is just absolutely phenomenal once you start getting into it. And some of the things is that there's key words that happen that he's going to repeat over and over and over and over. And one of them is under the sun. We live under the sun, amen? What does that mean? Well, our feet are on the ground. Are you in heaven yet? Not yet. So the other phrase is going to be above the sun. So we're going to look at two ways of living, is that we're going to look down here about life here under the sun and then life above the sun. So the question is today is, what's your focus? How is life for you? Is it depressing? Well, if you read Ecclesiastes, you'll get depressed, but you know it's okay. as long as it doesn't lead to clinical depression. Because the whole idea is that when you read something, you're going, oh, man, I've missed that. It might be just a little hint that says, why don't you sit down a while and meditate on the Word of God? Why don't you look at what's being said here? And then we start looking at how we look at life and what we do at life is what is our values in this life? And how much of that is really going to count? How much does it really matter? And so you're going to see another phrase that says, vanity of vanity. All is vanity. All is like your breath. Now, we lived in Alaska for 30 years, and the day we got married, it was like not too bad. It was January. And so we were having a little bit of a cold snap, and it was about 32 degrees below zero at the house. So if you went out the door and you went like this, with your breath, what do you see? It freezes, doesn't it? But in a few minutes or less than that, what do you have there? Nothing. And so life is a lot of ways that way. It can just be a vapor. And is this what life is really all about? Think about what he's saying here. If you look in chapter, if you're going to follow with me, I'm going to be in Ecclesiastes in chapter 1. It says, the word of the preacher, he's going to identify himself as the son of David. And this is going to be preacher, Koheleth. He's the preacher, he's the teacher. He's the guy that's preaching and teaching today. He goes, I got nothing to say, but he's got a lot. Amen? And we can make this interactive that the microphones are available. So if you got questions, you got something you want to ask, we can do this. This is your service. This is our service. And so in Ecclesiastes, he says, vanity of vanities. It's just like, what's the value of anything? Close your eyes, Lynn. Thank you. I have this. Okay, you can open your eyes now. And then what is what is the value of that? Sorry. Okay. So what is the value of that? And how much of value are you placing on that item? What are your idols? What is it that you're looking at? And what is your life like? Vanity of vanity. What does man gain by the toil? What do you gain by going to work every day? I got to get up the next morning. I got to go to work today. I got to go eat lunch. What'd you eat yesterday? I don't know. What'd you have for dinner last night? I don't know. What's life worth? Why do I even go to work? I get paid, government get most of it, wife gets the rest of it. What's their worth? Why go to work? What's life all about? You know, I mean, I got all these great things, Solomon says. I'm the king. I can do what I want when I want, go the way I want to do, whenever I want, and I can command people. So what? What's it all worth? Think of you if you're the boss at your work. You can do the same thing. But what's it worth? What is life all about? Is life about gathering everything yet you can, that you can stack it here and say, look what I got? Because if you go into chapter 3, it says, guess what? There's a time to live and a time to die. And there is no U-Haul truck on the hearse, so all the stuff you got to gathered here together, yeah, one of your moronic relatives is going to get. So everything is of no value. Is that true? What about life in general? Anybody getting depressed right about now? I am. I just need to sit down. I'm so depressed. How about preaching a message? Do you realize by tomorrow morning you won't remember 80% of it? By Wednesday, you won't remember 95% of it. By next Sunday, you won't even remember my name. Fine. I'm so depressed. Is Solomon, what is he doing here? I mean, you start reading this stuff, vanity of vanity, he's telling us. I've acquired great wisdom surpassing all, but it means nothing. Chapter 3, a time to be born, a time to die. What's up with this? A time to plant, a time to pluck, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to love, a time to hate, a time to war, a time of peace. How does that affect your life? What does a man gain by all his toil? Some great questions in here. What's your life all about? What is your life all about? There's evil under the sun. Under the sun. We live under the sun. Isn't there evil under the sun? Yeah. Yeah. You got the Mariners beating the Red Sox last week. That's evil under the sun. Yeah. But then you got good under the sun because the Red Sox beat the Mariners last week. So. So this is the kind of world we live in. We have evil under the sun. What's up with that? I didn't sign up for that program, and yet we have evil under the sun. Is life. It's just a vapor. It's just a vapor. And I love this one. Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Anybody make perfume? Throw a few dead flies in there. It's really going to make it smell great. But it's part of life. You're going to get dead flies in your life. And life's going to stink after a while. Man, I'm getting depressed. How about you? He who digs a pit will fall into it. And the serpent will bite him. Well, there's an encouragement to go do some whales and some hole post digging. So with all of that said, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, and also the foolish man in the world, because when he was around, we're guessing today on his age about when he became king. We know he reigned for 40 years, and so as a king, he's probably got somewhere around, let's use 20, maybe 25. So here he is around 65 years old, 70 maybe. And he's given you what his life has been like. He got born into a royal family. David, King David's dad. Okay, he's got a bunch of crazy brothers and sisters. And then one of them says, I'm going to be king. And the other one says, I'm going to be king. And next thing we know, Solomon's king. So now you got the king. And he gets before God, and he gets to build a temple of God, like a magnificent, they still call it Solomon's temple, even though it was destroyed, and a new second temple was built, and that's gone. But he builds Solomon's temple. It's a great place of worship for the Almighty God, the God of God, the King of Kings, the very God who came down and reached out to man and says, Abram, I'm going to build a nation here. And the end result is you got Solomon as king. And Solomon's king, and he goes before God after the temple. He says, and God says, what can I do for you? Don't you want God to ask you that same question? Yeah. Okay, God, open your checkbook. What did he ask for? Wisdom. He says, give me wisdom. I'm young. Give me wisdom. God says, I'll give you wisdom. So he ends up being the smartest man in the world. Writes 3,000 Proverbs. Does all this wonderful stuff. Great, great teacher, great, great preacher, great, great, just a good man, very wise. And then he gets to be very foolish. Because I don't care what anybody says, one wife is plenty. Two wives is three wives, you're going, 1,000 wives? You're nuts. Okay? Nuts. Let's put it this way. Can you imagine? Let's plan a vacation, honey. You got 1,000 directions you're going. All right? Excuse me, I haven't seen you in a couple of years. Can I have my turn tonight? There's craziness. Very foolish man. And he's sharing his life with you in the book of Ecclesiastes. He's telling, yeah, I was king. Yeah, I did this. Yeah, dad was a great king. Yeah, I built a temple. Yes, I was wise because God gave me the wisdom. Yes. But now, I married this gal from Egypt so I could have a better relationship with the Pharaoh. I married this queen over here so I can have a better relationship with that king in that kingdom. I married this person over here And next thing you know, he's got 1,000 wives. How intimate is he? Can you be? I mean, I find difficult being intimate with one person. I mean, intimate is to get to know that person. To truly get to know that person. How can you be intimate with 1,000 wives? You can't. How many children does he have? He couldn't even remember. How's dad? I don't know, never see him. And the sad part is I see this in Africa where the Muslims have multiple wives. And they have favorite wives and they have just wives that they're servicing wives. And the servicing wives have children. And the children don't get to see dad. That's not a good thing. So here he is. He's got all these wives. And what happens is next is that he's got a God he's been serving. The very God of David. And he's Solomon's God. And next thing you know is through gradual progression, just like the Christian church today, through gradual progression, we're going from serving the one true God to serving man's gods. We're serving where you take the temple, which was designed for the Ark of the Covenant, designed for the holies of holies, designed where God would say, I'll come in and fill the place. And when they did, it was so full of God's glory, they had to get out of the building, and they replaced it with idols, man-made idols. And they're calling this good. And they're calling it gods, little g. And Solomon's telling you he's doing this. And it's not worth anything. He's lost his way, people. And the church today is losing its way. You see, a nation in Ireland just passed, is a Catholic nation. Well, it's also very Protestant. You had to remember the wars. Who just said homosexuality is fine. Well, could be anything else too. They just declared that we don't care about what God says. We're going to do what we want to do. And we have a lot of that in church today. But that was also happening back then because they did what was right in their own eyes. They did what they wanted to do and set away God's word. And it talks about in the New Testament about tickling the other person's ear. I can give you a message today that's going to make you feel so good about yourselves and so happy and so entertained when you leave here, you're going to go, wow, that was so good. Yeah, really. Two words. So what? Is this about entertainment? Or is this about God? One God. Big G. Is this about God's message to you and to me so that when we leave here, we can say, so what about what we just spent the last half hour, 40 minutes on? And what does it mean in my life? And how do I get to apply it? What is Solomon telling you? He's telling you life is tough. You're going to have bills to pay. You're going to have children who are going to run away. You're going to children who are going to die young. You got parents who are going to die young. You're going to have a tough life under the sun. You're going to lose your job under the sun. And if he just left it there, we would all be in trouble. But dispersed throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, it's going to be some things for you and for me that we can grab hold of. 40 times he mentions the word God. 40 times. He's at the end of his life. He served all of useless gods, all vapor, and he comes up and talks about this one God. I'm going to take the final passage in chapter 12 and work with this. He says in chapter 12, verse 9 through 14, he says, besides being wise, the preacher, Koheleth, also taught the people knowledge, weighing, and studying, arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, like nails firmly fixed, are the collected sayings that are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these, of making many books there is no end, and much studies weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, here it comes. I've just spent 40 years being a king. I just spent 40 years wasting my time serving false idols, gathering gold like crazy, gathering silver. I won't even look at silver because we don't need it. We got all the gold. I got chariots like crazy. I got 25,000 horses. And guess what? I'm breaking all the commandments of God. Because he says I'm not to have all this stuff, even though I am king. And I'm doing all this. I got 1,000 wives with no relationships. I got no relationship with the gods. I got no relationship with my wife. I got no relationship with my children. And if you doubt that, when he dies, his kingdom splits. I got nothing, he says. But, at the end of his life, somewhere he's coming back and says, but God. Two magic words in the Bible, but God. Two great, wonderful words in the Bible, but God. When you start reading your Bible, you start seeing these two words together, but God, stop. And pause and get ready. But God. He's going to tell us that God never left him. God never forsook him. God never gave up on him. How about you? Who are you giving up on? Who have you forsaken? Who are you saying they're not worth it? Who have you written off? Because your God will never leave you nor forsake you. We got a God of love. Everything else is plastic, wood, and metals. Have eyes who don't see, ears that don't hear, mouths that don't speak. There is no heart. That's H-E-A-R-T, not H-O-T. There is one God. And he's telling us there's one God. He says, the end of the matter. I'm coming to the end of my life. I see I've wasted my life, and yet, there's still something here that's going to give me a direction. The end of the matter has been heard. And he tells us this, fear God and keep his commandments. That's the summation of all Ecclesiastes. We're going to be under the sun. We're going to be faced with knowing things and not knowing things. We're going to be ignorant in many things. I'm ignorant in many things. Is that bad? Absolutely not. I don't mix concrete because I probably leave my hand in there. I don't do a lot of things. But the thing is that God, we're to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the sum of our life. That's the direction that you and I have. That's the direction that says, yeah, reality says that we're going to have a tough life. We have a boy in jail. That's part of life. We have 7 grandkids, 2 great-grandkids. That's part of life. We don't get to spend much time with them. That's sad. That's part of life. If I were to focus in just on the negatives of this world, I would just be depressed. And I just want to sit down and die. And you see, this is why suicides happen. Because their minds are so gobbled up and their hearts are so jumbled up that they see nothing. Nothing except what's under the sun, and they choose to get out of the pain. They choose to get out of the pain. But we deal with pain every day. How do you deal with the pain every day? Do you go to God, the one true God, and say, Oh God, do you let him just get into your heart And are you willing to just bend that knee to him and say, God, yeah, break me, melt me, mold me, fill me, take me and use me where, when, how you want, because you're God, I'm not. You're God, I'm the servant. And not only am I the servant, I am the bond servant, which means I voluntarily choose to be your servant. Join with Paul in Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bond servant of Christ Jesus, that's his master. Called to be an apostle, that wasn't a title, that was his office. One who is sent, that was his title. Why was he a bondservant? Why was he called? His purpose was that he was called and he was set apart to the gospel, that he was to live the gospel and share the gospel. Guess what? That hasn't changed. If you're a Christian, that hasn't changed. You want to know what your purpose in life is? Yes, I understand that on this earth, I'm going to have a difficult time. Yes, on this earth. As a disabled veteran, I know I'm going to have some days that are just like, oh, man. But I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on God. And I'm going to ask God to move this body where he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. And there will be days I'm in my wheelchair and other days I'm not. But the mere fact of the matter is, I'm focusing on him. Who are you focusing on? Are you fearing God? And that fear of God is not ho-ho. It's a sense of understanding that there's that respect of who he is. And that we are created in his image, not he in our image. That we are the carriers of his breath. That we are his. And that we need to quit serving all these foolish gods. Fear God and keep his commandments. What are the commandments here? It's very simple. If you had to sum everything up, it's very simple. Fear God, respect him, love him, submit yourself to him, acknowledge that he is God, you are not. Acknowledge that he created you, called you, and he's going to equip you. He doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. He tells you, come to me. This is the God that says, I want to come to you. I'm that kind of God. Everything else, we have to go to it. He came to us. He's the kind of God that says, Jesus, the only, the beloved, the word, the logos. I'm going to send him to you. Why? So you can party hardy? No. So you can die on a cross. But he doesn't stop there. 3 days later, he's up. And he's blowing minds out. He's just blowing their minds out. Thought you were dead. No. Some fish? Yes, please. No, this is a ghost. Sorry. No, I'm a real thing. And then he gives us commands of what to do. Is that you as Christians have been called to be his bondservant. You've been called to be something that could be a teacher. You've been called that somebody that says, you've been called to be a discipler. You've been called to be somebody. Why? So you've been set apart to the gospel of Jesus Christ so that you live the gospel and share the gospel. How's that match up with your words and your life? How's that work with all this together? Life is difficult. Work can be tremendously bad sometimes. But if I got Jesus, and I know that it says in Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, do your work heartily. Why? Unto the Lord. For it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Do your work unto the Lord. All of a sudden, the depression lifts. All of a sudden, you can start putting up with all the stuff at work. and get ready for more problems, because as Christians, we're getting beat up pretty severely. But unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians who aren't getting beat up because they're not being identified as Christians. Stop and think of what's going on. What are we to do on this earth is that we stay focused on God, fear God, and keep His commandments. What are His commandments? It's simple. Fear God, yes. Love Him. Jesus was asked, He was trying to trick Him, you know, trying to do that all the time with Him. He says, what's the greatest commandment? You know, they had their list. He says, well, here it is. It's pretty simple. Love the Lord your God with what? With what? All your heart. What else? All your mind. What else? All your strength. Love the Lord your God. Who's your God? Is it a little g or a big G? Who's your God? Is it the God of true Christianity or is it another God? Who's this Jesus you're serving? There are many Jesuses out there. But is it this one here? Is it this one here? This very one that says, fear God and keep His commandment. The very God that says that the words collected here for one shepherd. Jesus says, I am the one shepherd. I am the Word. Are you focused on Jesus? Is He your Word? Is He your shepherd? No matter what the circumstances are in this earth, you're going to have them. How are you going to deal with them? Well, if you fear God, you focus on God, it's not saying you're not going to have problems. It's not saying you're not going to have car problems. It's not saying you're going to lose your $2 you got in your wallet. But it is saying that God is God, and I can rely on Him at all times for all things, for all reasons, and I can trust Him with all. And that no matter what this world gives me, no matter what this world gives me, I know He's right with me. So when I travel to Africa, people say, aren't you afraid of going to Africa? I'm going, why would I be afraid? God's sending me. That's the first thing. So it's not there because I want to be. I tell them I'm there because God sent me, but I couldn't wait to get back. Just can't wait to get back. But then what if somebody says, you know, you get one of the radical Muslims there, or somebody else doesn't like white guys. I am truly a minority over there. Easy to pick out in the crowd, which is wonderful. Not a problem. God sent me. He didn't send me to belate them, to berate them, or to put them down. He sent me to serve them. Remember this bondservant? Set apart to the gospel. That's this guy. And if somebody says, I don't like the gospel, I'm going to shoot you if you don't shut up. I'm going to ask them to get me right here. Or they can hit me here. They can do whatever they want because my next breath is going to be in heaven. What do I care? I'm not going to be focused on that gun. I'm not going to be focused on that machete. I'm not going to be focused on that snake. I'm going to be focused on Jesus the Christ. How's your life? How's your life here in Salem, Oregon? How's your life? Fear God and keep His commandments. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. He only wants 100%. There's 10% stuff. I don't know where that came from, but He wants 100. How much are you giving Him? And then, you have to love your neighbor, except for him. I love God, but I hate Him. Look at that jacket he's wearing. It's so filthy. He's got the stupid little goatee. I mean, just come. He really shouldn't even be in this church. I mean, I just like it. It doesn't make sense. You know, why would he be here? You know, I love God, but I hate my neighbor. Ooh, what does the Bible say about that? Try 1 John 4, 20-21. If you say you love God and hate your neighbor, you're what? You're a liar. You can't call me a liar. I didn't. The Bible did. That the second part of the commandment is that to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love God. love your neighbor, but don't forget that third piece, that you love yourself, not narcissistically. Not to be a narcissist. You have to love the fact that God created you. Let me just back up a little bit, or else you're going to need a towel. And so, God created you. Look at Psalm 139. He knew you, and he kissed you, and he put you in your mother's womb. Boom. He says, wonderful are my works. Marvelous are my works. God doesn't create junk. So why do you let the world say you're junk? You're not. You're a child of God. If you're Christian, you're a child of God. If you're not Christian, you're a creation of God. If you're Christian, you're both. If I love me because God loved me, and the Bible says that I love God because he loved me first, then therefore I have value. My value doesn't come from you. It comes from him. And if I can love me, I can love you. Because Christ is in my heart, loving me, loving through me. And then I can love you as he loves you. And then I can go back to him and still say, it's all because of you. Solomon is a very wise man. He tried everything under the sun. If he had had a Ferrari, he'd probably have taken that thing to the max. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. There's your purpose in life. As Christians, our purpose in life is simple. Fear God, keep his commandments. What did he do? He didn't make a suggestion about going out and making disciples and sharing the gospel. Those are commands. Who have you talked to about Christianity? Remember now, you're seed planters. You've got to plant the seed and let God do the growing. And if you're fortunate enough to come back and harvest, praise God. But plant the seed. And how you plant the seed, just let them know what God's done in your life. Yeah, I've had a tough week, man, I'll tell you. But there's one thing for sure. God was there. God was with me every moment of the day. Every moment of the day. And I could pray to him constantly and unceasingly and say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on this man. Keep me in front of you, that I may not depart from you. Now, the final thing he says, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Fear God, love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, and what you do, you will be responsible for before God. Every word will be responsible before God. Every action will be responsible before God. Every non-action, you will be responsible before God. Whoa. If you doubt that, look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, Matthew 25, Romans 14, Acts 10. And everything you do here is going to make a difference on this earth. If it is given to God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You see, we have many people going to church. Many people going to church thinking that they are Christian. Thinking that they're being fed the truth. Thinking that when they're finished here on earth, that God's going to allow them in heaven. There's a passage in the Bible I'm going to share with you. It says Matthew 7. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Are you doing the will of the Father? On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name? Then we baptize everybody, then we sing hallelujahs, then we raise our hand, then we bow our knee, then we do this, then we do that. And he says to them, depart from me, I don't know you. Oh, those aren't words I want. Depart from me. Well, then we do all the ritualistic stuff. Depart from me. Depart from me. Fear God, Everything he's given you, enjoy, because he gave it to you. He gave you your wisdom, he gave you your might, he gave you your riches. And if you think you don't have any riches, look at your family. You got riches. It's not all about your checkbook. Everything you have is from him. Are you thanking him? Everything. Are you in walk with him? Are you in love with him? Are you obeying him, keeping his commandments? And are you rejoicing with him? And when you get to heaven, and he says, well done, good and faithful steward, come on in. I got a place for you. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Do you want that? And today you can have that. Today is not wishful theology. It's not frou-frou theology. It's real theology. And the theology says, God says, I created you in my image. I love you. I sent my son to die for you. He rose. He beat death. He beat sin. And if you will accept my gift, then you will have a place with me. And oh, by the way, by the time between the time you receive my gift and the time I call you home, I have some work for you. Will you follow me? Will you be obedient to me? Will you keep my commandments? And will you share my love with other people? Wow. The book of Ecclesiastes is a wake-up call for us. We don't need to know everything. It tells us this. And the things we do know, we can give God the glory for. Thank you, Lord, for sharing that knowledge with me. Thank you for opening my mind that I can receive it. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you're the God of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and I can put all of my icons away. And I can serve one God with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, and all of my strength, and give you the glory, the honor, the praise because of who you are. In Jesus' name. What are you focused on today? Let's focus on him. Let's take the message of Ecclesiastes and apply it in our lives, in the lives of our family. And watch your children. As it says in Deuteronomy, listen, Shema, listen, share the word of God with your family in the morning, at lunch, at evening, at bedtime. Are you sharing the word of God? Are you living the word of God? Are you receiving the word of God? And are you giving the glory to God? In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.